You know, I like titles on messages. Ziklag. Now, you good Bible scholars will know what that's about. The return of the king. So we'll get to that story in a minute. And it's a message that the Lord's really put on my heart quite strongly. Just over a week ago, and we heard some of this stuff, and then Gillian and I spent some time just studying the story. And I would not be exaggerating to say on more than one occasion we were reduced to tears at the goodness of God that he wants to show us in this story, and believe that he wants to say things to us this morning. And we were hearing a guy preaching, and it's around a battle, the whole story, which is, I didn't choose that because of the Sunday it is, it's just the way it's worked out. But I heard another guy, and he was a pastor to a American football team. House group have kind of heard this before, a little bit of this. Where he says to the football team, "We're going to fight! And we're going to fight until we can't fight no more! And then we're going to lie down and we're going to bleed a while. And when we've bled a while, we're going to get up and we're going to fight some more." And there are some of us that are a little battle weary. Some of us that feel we're a bit battered. We feel, you know, what's going on in our lives. And the Lord wants us to see his goodness. He wants us to see his goodness. But you know, the enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And there's some here and there's some who are not here this morning. Because the enemy is trying to dance around and he's roaring at you and he's trying to distract you. He's trying to make you not believe what God has said to you. And by way of introduction, I just want to look, take the next slide. There we go. Put introduction, faith opposed. Quite an important scripture here. When Jesus was baptized, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. John said, "Why are you coming to me? You don't need to be baptized." But he went to be baptized because he came as a man, just like we're a man. He'd emptied himself of all his godly goodness. And he came to this point of obedience. And it says here in Matthew 3, 16, 17, "After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So here is Jesus as the man coming to a place, to the beginning of his ministry, where he submits himself to the old prophetic order that was just about to finish. John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets. And Jesus brings in a new era. He submits himself to baptism by John. And as he comes up out of the water, it heralds the new era, the new covenant, because the heavens were torn open, as it comes from Isaiah 54. The heavens were rendered and the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him in anointing power. That's what happens to us because the heavens have been torn open. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately after this happened, what happens next? He went off and had a great party. No, he didn't. He went into the wilderness for 40 days, where he had to have his faith tried and proved. What, the Son of God? That's what we're told. Jesus, the next bit here, Matthew 4, was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he'd fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, I don't know if anybody in the room's tried that, he then became hungry. He then became hungry. Did you get that? He then became hungry. He then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And we know that other temptations that came, which Jesus then answered with the word of God. Satan tried to corrupt the word of God. But isn't it interesting, the last thing, the last revelation that came to him, the last thing that Father God spoke to him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Satan comes along and said, if you are the Son of God, what is the last thing that God has spoken to you? Be it in a prayer time, be it some other time, be it from his word. What has he said to you? And Satan's come along straight away and said, yeah, you really believe that? Somebody prayed for you to be healed and you felt something happen in you, but you know it wasn't real. You know that pain's going to come back and just dog your body. And that's when we have to get into the word of God. That's when we have to say what is true. We have to say what is true. What is the ultimate truth? Do you know whether it's a call to ministry that you've had in your life? Whether it's promises about your family, whether it's a word of healing in your life, the enemy comes along and he wants to steal. That's what he does. He steals, kills and destroys, and he's a liar. But he's only got any power when we agree with him. He's empowered by our agreement. He says, well, I don't agree with the enemy. But you'll find times when suddenly he comes along and he whispers in your ear and he comes quietly. He doesn't come snarling like a lion. He sneaks up behind you and says, if, and you're going, oh, maybe not. I don't know. And suddenly he's gaining power because you're agreeing with his if. He wanted Jesus to submit to him. Satan had real power. He said, this has been given to me and I can give it to who I like. He wasn't good at promising something he couldn't deliver. It was a real temptation. And he wanted Jesus to agree with him so he would be empowered to thwart the purposes of God. And too easily we let our lives get plundered by the one who comes to steal, kill and destroy. And then our lives go through a period and a time where we think, oh, now heavens are like brass. The place around me is a parched and a dry place and we feel like we're going through a valley. Next slide. Valley of Baca. Back one, that's two. That's it, the Valley of Baca. Baca means weeping. In Psalm 84, verses 4 to 7, it says, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. Well, are you dwelling in the house of God? Because he's dwelling in you if you've come to him in faith. They are ever praising you. That's a sila, which means take a breath. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you. It's the strength of God within you. In whose heart are the highways to Zion. Hang on, the next bit. Can we miss the next bit? It's that in whose heart are the highways to Zion, passing through the valley of Baca, passing through the valley of weeping. Passing through the valley of weeping. They make it a spring, and the early rain also covers it with blessing. And they go from strength to strength, and every one of them appears before God. When we're walking with the Lord, there will be times where we go through a valley. And sometimes in that valley, it's a place of weeping. Sometimes we're crying, saying, Lord, what's going on in my life? And in this psalm, it says, your tears make a spring in the valley. And then what happens? The early rain comes. The rain is a picture of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, the blessing of God. The rain comes. Your tears will make it a place of a spring, a place that can be fruitful. So the proving of your faith through a valley experience can make it a place of fruitfulness. And then God adds to your tears his rain, the rain of the Spirit, and brings fruit into that place. And then it says, they go from strength to strength. We like that. We like to go from strength to strength. That's nice. And there are scriptures that say we go from glory to glory. And we go from faith to faith. Wow. It's simple. Except two, it's more like I go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Faith to faith. Glory to glory. A lot of us are in the two. A lot of us are in the two. And we think because it's a two-letter word, it's a two strength, two glory. And we're saying, Lord, I don't think I'm there yet. I haven't arrived in the strength. I haven't arrived in the glory. Because it's a two. To glory. Another psalm, Psalm 72, 6 and 7. Talking about rain coming down. It says in, as is the American Standard, different versions word it slightly differently. But may he come down like rain upon the mown grass. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace till the moon is no more. There's a lot of promises in this Psalm 72 about the needy and the poor and the afflicted receiving blessing from God. If ever there's a word to where we're at right now, that's what it is. There's another psalm. Some of you might know it, you might not. It talks about being in a valley. Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in what? The presence of my enemies. The enemy is coming trying to oppose you. He's trying to lie to you. He's trying to steal the word of God from you. And you're going through a valley that the two is a bit longer than you wanted it to be. And the Lord says, come here a while. I'm going to spread a table before you. Right where the enemy's looking on. I'm going to demonstrate grace. I'm going to demonstrate grace to you. And he demonstrates grace. And he pours out his love to us. So this is the story. It's about Ziklag. Now, the background to the story is David was getting on really well with Saul, not, and he had to run away and hide because Saul wanted to take his life. And the Philistines were coming up against the nation and battling with the nation. And they just had to know that God was with them, but it was just all going wrong. David had been anointed as a king to replace Saul. And Saul was trying to kill David. So he ran off to a foreign king, King Achish. And he got a motley bunch of 600 guys around him. There were a lot of discontents. And they decided they'd live with the enemy. And they stayed, and the king Achish gave them a place to live called Ziklag. And David would go out raiding from time to time, and the king Achish thought he was a reasonably good bloke because he'd share some of the spoil with him, and he was fighting the enemies of him as well. And then until the Philistines came up and wanted to make an alliance with the king Achish, and David didn't really want to be a part of this fight because the Philistines were the enemies of Israel too. And he actually lied. He actually lied to this king. He said he'd gone out raiding against these guys when he hadn't. And the guy just believed him because he was a good bloke. So here they are, they're in Ziklag, and they've been out raiding, him and his band of 600. And they look across the hills and they see fire going up. And they know this is in the kind of the direction of where they've come from, Ziklag, the place where they are. So then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And David and the people who were with them lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Not surprising. The enemy had come and plundered their town, burned it to the ground so that there was nothing left. Absolutely nothing left. And taken everybody captive. That was a miracle. That's a miracle of grace right there. Because they were taken captive. Most of the towns, they just slaughtered everybody. They just slaughtered everybody. But they took them captive. And they led them away. And they come back from their raiding. And they look and they say, well, the town's gone. But not only the town's gone, our wives and our families, our children, it's all gone. Everything. 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 Everything we had has gone. And they wept and they wept and they wept until they had no strength to weep anymore. They were in the valley of Baca. Next slide. Now David, two wives, one too many as we say, had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. Oh, hang on. Lord, you'd said I was going to be king. Saul's tried to kill me. I've run off. I'm living in a foreign land. We got a reasonable place to go. It was nice and safe, sort of. Now it's been raided. Everything we've got is gone. All I'm left with is this band of 600 malcontents. And now, because they're really ticked off at losing everything, they want to stone me. This is really going to fulfill the word of God to establish a throne in David's name that will be an eternal throne. All the people were embittered, each one, because of his sons and daughters. Kind of have a bit of sympathy with them. I think most of us would have been a bit miffed if our children and families had been taken captive. What kind of leader are you? What kind of shepherd of the flock are you, David? Things been taken captive in our lives. But, there's one of those wonderful small words again, but. But, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How did he do that? Doesn't tell us there. Strengthened himself in the Lord his God. But there's a bit of a clue if you read a lot of the things that David wrote in the book of Psalms, where he says, like Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my... Viv said it last week, apparently. We weren't here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'm sure he really felt like doing that right now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then what she... And forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who strengthens you, gives you life, who redeems your life from the pit, renews your years like the eagle. Hallelujah, I'll take that one, thank you. That's only one psalm. That's only a piece of one psalm, where he talks about the loving kindness and the faithfulness of God being new every day and being renewed in our lives constantly. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He turned to praise and worship. Praise and worship is one of the most powerful weapons against the enemy that exists. And when you run out of words, when you become exhausted, then use your heavenly language. You find me occasionally pacing round our house, hallelujah, shalom, just blessing God and wanting to praise God and say, Lord, what are you doing? Strengthening yourself in the Lord, using the heavenly language. It says, when Paul writes about using tongues, he says, it edifies us. It edifies us. Helps build up your mind. The area where we're coming under attack. You know, if you've been given a gift and now you're not using it, and you wonder why there's weakness, He strengthened himself in the Lord. We need to come to a place where we turn to praise, where we turn to worship, where we avail ourselves of the things that God has given to us, and let our minds be renewed and changed. So everything went well now. That's good, isn't it? So what happened next? Now we got to the point where he said, I've missed a verse out on there just to compress it. He calls Abiathar the priest. He says, bring the linen ephod and let's inquire of God. So you come to a place where, what on earth has gone wrong? Lord, I need to come. I need to come before you. I need to come before you the right way. I need to come through the priest. I need to come with a clean linen, with purity, the ephod, the linen ephod. I need to come before the Lord and inquire of the Lord. I love this bit. Because here he says, David inquired of the Lord, said, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? That's what David asked. Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord said, pursue them, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. He didn't ask him if they'd rescue everything. The grace of God comes in the reply. You will surely rescue all. Say, you will rescue all. God, what a bang. You'll rescue all. You will surely rescue all. Hallelujah. Has the enemy been trying to plunder your life? Rob you of vision and promises of the past? Talking with Maureen earlier. Bless you. Don't want to make you an example. But things spoken over Maureen 30 years ago. The enemy wants her to not believe it. Not believe it's true. And it's still true, isn't it? Wants to plunder that. We'll overtake them. We won't just overtake the enemy. We'll rescue everything that God has put there. You will rescue all. Next slide. I'm going to let Gunilla take over at this point in a minute. Just read the scripture. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him. And he came to the brook Besor, however you pronounce it, where those who left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook remained behind. Now they found an Egyptian. So this is where the redemption begins now here. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he ate and they provided him with water to drink. And they gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins and he ate them. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Love it when you get a little significant chicken. 3 days and three nights. There, this Egyptian had been left as dead. And David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, a servant of the Amalekites. So he'd obviously been taken as a slave at some point by the Amalekites. And my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago. He'd been left for dead. Left for dead 3 days and three nights. And David comes. But there were 200 left behind. Let Ginilla just pick it up at that point for a moment.
You know how sometimes when you look at something and the words just leap out. Well, when we were looking at this together, those words really leapt out for me. The 200 that were left behind because they were just too exhausted to go and fight. And I really felt there are many among us who are just feel too exhausted to go and fight. And the Lord says, so are we going to be left behind? Are they going to miss out then? No. Grace comes in. Those of us who are too weak, too exhausted to fight, we are still going to be part of this. He will recover all. The Lord really reminded me of, years back, as we've already said, you might have words spoken over you long time ago. So perhaps sometimes you leave them behind. When my first marriage broke up and I was in a really terrible state, some lovely people of the Lord came and gave me words from the Lord. And some of them I really sort of hung on to. And you might have heard me sort of quote them sometimes where the particular one that says, and your sons shall be taught by the Lord and great shall be their peace. There have been times I've been holding that one up and saying, Lord, that's what you said about my sons. But you know, at other times, I've been working against that. I've been sort of listening to the enemy when he sort of said, no wonder they were where they're at. You weren't a good mum, were you? You didn't stand up for them when they needed you. You didn't pass on any encouragement when they needed it, strength when they needed it. And the Lord came to me as we were looking at this and he said, yeah, that was true. Because the enemy does come with those truths and half-truths. And just twist them around a little bit and we agree. And I'd agreed with that. So, then they have no confidence. Because I had no confidence, I couldn't pass that on. And the Lord said, yeah, that's true. That's why I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. Your sons shall be taught by the Lord. And great shall be their peace. Believe it. Hang on to it. And he said, but there was more to that. You know, some of the words you just let go. The ones that he spoke about me, where I should be set in a place with sapphires and beautiful things. He was going to make my place beautiful. I hadn't taken that aboard at all. Because I wasn't worth that, was I? And the Lord said, come on, lay hold of the things that I've told you. Later on in the story, it goes on to say that they go and they fight, and there's fighting. And there's those of us who can fight, and we need to go and fight on behalf of those that are too exhausted to fight. We need to come alongside them. Just as when I was that weak, people came to me with words from the Lord. And I believe we might even be doing some of that this morning later. But you know, some of them, when they got back with all that spoil, as you will hear later in the story, some of them said, okay, they can have their wives and children back. But they're not going to have any of the spoil. They didn't deserve it, did they? They didn't come and fight with us. But grace comes in. Oh no. Everything is shared. The spoil that was brought back is shared with everyone. Because that's God's grace. That's all I'll say for now.
Okay. Hallelujah. That might be speaking to some of you. The Lord's given you things that you've let go. And now I had, back in 1976 in YWAM, a lady called Jean Darnell prophesied over me. And when my life fell apart, the enemy plundered, lost everything except the kids. Everything. And I just thought, well, that's it, isn't it? That's the end of that. That's that season gone, because things have changed. Things have changed. But God's grace comes in, and God's grace comes in double measure. And he reestablishes, like he did with Job, and he makes things new. And last week we got a prophecy that just blew me away. Just blew me away. Things that had been spoken in 1976 just brought back again. And it's like, is this me you're talking about, Lord? Is this me you're talking about? He said, it's you, son. It's you, son. A double portion of grace. Get up, mighty man. Get up. Get up. Get up and fight again. You've bled a while. It's time to get up. It's time to get up and fight again. We're going to bring it back. We're going to overtake and we're going to bring it back. We're coming to a time. We're coming to a time where God is pouring out his spirit in powerful measure and bringing back things that we've lost for ages. Whether that's in our personal lives or as a church, promises and things given. The word spoken over this church back in 1970 blimp. Yes, 40 years ago, thank you Lord. 40 years ago in our house, 40 years ago in our house on Epiphany Sunday, the first church service in Broadfield was held. 40 years ago. Moses was in the wilderness 40 years. And the Lord said he's going to rain and pour a river down from the highest point. And the river's going to come flooding down through this neighborhood, and it's going to bring the power and the anointing of God. And it's going to sweep many into the kingdom, and there'll be works of power that follow that. And that's going to have an impact in this town and in the nation and across the nations. God is not a man that he would lie. Shall we pursue? Shall we overtake the enemy? Shall we take back what he's taken? What we've allowed him to have? What I've allowed him to have? I'm in a place where I tremble with the excitement that God is placing in my heart. The enemy hates it. Spent half of a night just with the Lord, just in the most intimate time with the Lord. The presence of the Holy Spirit came into the room, so that there was an actual fragrance in the room, that I could breathe in the fragrance of the Holy Spirit as I embraced the Holy Spirit. And then I'm knocked out for 3 days with a norovirus sitting on the toilet. I'm trying to praise God and say, Lord, I want to stay. I'm praising you. And I'm lying in bed, my stomach gurgling and groaning. Lord, I'm going to praise you. I don't care. I'm not the enemy. And the enemy goes, I'll get you. And he stabs me through the leg with a hot knife. It's a cramp. And I got a cramp like I've never had a cramp in for a long time. And it was the pain. Well, I cried out. Goodness, she's laughing. She thinks it's funny. I cried out because it hurt so much. And I sat up in bed wanting to, because normally if you get a cramp, I want to jump out of the bed and stamp on it. And I couldn't because I was so weak from being sick and all night and being dying. I wanted to get out of bed. And I got up and I was trying to say, Lord, I want to bless you. It was just, so there's a cramp in my leg and I'm retching violently. And my stomach's in churn. And I'm saying, Lord, I haven't got any breath left, but I want to praise you. The enemy didn't like it. Praise is a powerful weapon. I stayed sick for a few days. So what? We sat in the presence of God. We heard him speak to us in powerful and in mighty ways. His goodness and his grace was towards us. Praise God, praise God. Oops, did it as well. Let's try again. One gentle touch. Just one touch from the king. That's it. That's all we need. Then David said, now, it's interesting, because now they have to go down. He says to this guy, will you take us down to the enemy camp? And there's a time in our life we have to go down to the enemy camp. I was reminded this morning of the story of Gideon. I haven't got it up here, just reminded this morning in Judges 6, where, you know, he's hiding in the wine press and the Lord comes, hello, mighty man of valor. And who, me? And he wants him to go and defeat. And so he raises an army of 30,000. The Lord says, too many, whittles it down to 300. He says, if you're afraid, Gideon, if you're afraid, I've got a plan for you. This is what you do. In the night, go down into the enemy's camp with your servant. Sounds like a really good plan, doesn't it? Go down into the enemy's camp at night and just listen. Just listen. So they did. They sneaked into the enemy camp. And then they heard, and they heard the enemy saying, we're terrified. Gideon's got a mighty army and they're going to come. They're going to be wiped out. We're going to be destroyed. The enemy were terrified. So Gideon and his 300 men suddenly felt the battle belongs to the Lord. They knew the battle was God's. And they were victorious because God won the battle. And they recovered all sorts of stuff. That was Gideon's battle. Sometimes the Lord says, I want you to go and see what's going on in the enemy camp. The Lord gave us a glimpse this morning as we were praying. You know, Satan hates us when we're praising and when we're praying, because it's powerful. And we think, oh, you know, the enemy might come against us. Go and have a sneak into their camp. They're terrified. Because when we hasten the coming of the king, when we hasten the coming of the kingdom of God, they know their time is up. They know they're already judged. They know what their end is. They know they are doomed and condemned and judged already. And they know that the day of the Lord, when that comes, is it. It's over. And if the church of God rises up in the power and the spirit and the anointing that God's put on us, we hasten the coming of that day. So what do you think they want to try and do? They want to discourage you. They want to pull you down. They want to stop you. Listen to what's going on in their camp. We better stop some of these guys praising and worshipping. It's getting scary what they're doing. That's what they're saying. We've been opposed with this word. For 10 days we've been opposed with this word. Then David said to him, will you bring me down to the band? He said, swear by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to the band. And when he brought them down, behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing. So the enemy were having a really good time, big party, because of the great spoil that they had taken, hang on, from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. So this place was actually heaped with spoil that they'd taken. David slaughtered them from twilight until the evening of the next day. And not, it makes me laugh this line, not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. It's kind of a bit of a weird line, isn't it? So David recovered, this one makes me cry, this, David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, had rescued his two wives, but nothing of theirs was missing. Whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they'd taken for themselves, David brought it all back. Say, David brought it all back. Do you know what he brought back? Everything and some. He didn't just take what had been taken from Ziklag. He took the spoil of the whole camp. It's time we plunder the enemy camp. It's time we plunder what the enemy has taken and bring it into the kingdom for God's glory. It's time where we start to pray and intercede and do warfare over certain areas to say, this belongs to God. We are a nation as a church of priests and kings. Do you feel like one? You ready for battle? Or are you bleeding a while? Are you still bleeding a while? We believe in a priesthood of all believers, you see. Everybody has a ministry. And everybody in this room, called by God, has a power, an anointing, and ministry. It's the enemy's lying to you. He's hurt you. And I prayed and believe that the Lord wants to touch hearts and heal people. From the smallest to the greatest, oldest to the youngest, whatever. I'm going to embarrass Rosie a little bit now. But I'm so pleased to hear Michael and Rosie here. But you know, when I was dreaming, talking with the Lord about this message, you know, the Lord said, there might be some who've never felt they had the embrace from their mum. Never had a mother's love the way they wanted it to be. And the Lord said, do you know, if they just let Rosie give them a hug, healing power would flow from Rosie into that situation. So I want to encourage you, if that's you, can get a hug from Rosie. I don't think she'll mind. I'm speaking on your behalf. But here's a wonderful, gracious, filled with the love of God woman who's got so much love, and they come and sit quietly. And she's a warrior for the Lord. Here, two faithful warriors for God. See what God has placed in our midst? It's not about the person standing at the front. Maureen, the Lord spoke to you about moving in signs and wonders. Again, let's get in a word of knowledge now. Well, again, let's go speak. I've got a word for Pauline. I'm just going to go and speak it.
I was just, again, that just really reminded me of, yes, we all got gifts. And another one that I wanted to mention, who isn't here now because she's next door, is Carol with her cards, her birthday cards. They've been such a blessing. I know of people who will just go and help their friends when they need it. It's such a blessing, Marie. We all have gifts. We might think, oh, it's nothing. What I'm doing isn't anything, really. It's so small. And the Lord gives us opportunities. Last week, they had this messy light party in the church, and in the Church of England. And we went and I just helped out. Thought, oh, yeah, we're going to go and help out with that. And I was like, I didn't know what I was going to do. When I got there, I was given a table. They were doing creation, and I had the table about man, day six when man was created, and the kids were coming and they were making little crafts to do with that. And I just sort of, we were given little notes to say, oh, you can do this and this, say things. I thought, yeah, I'm just going to say some things to the children. And Lord, you will give me things to say. And it was really crowded, didn't have time to say very much, but just sort of tried to just say some little things to each of the children. And right at the end, There was a girl with her dad, I assume it was. Part of the other family had been there as well, but they're now gone because of starting the story. She was finishing off, and she was just, she was so pleased, and she was showing it to me, and I just had some words. I don't remember what they were now, but I just had some words to say, oh, you know, thank you, Lord, that the Lord really made you something. And she just beamed. But when I thought back of it, what was really great was the look on that dad's face. He was so proud of his daughter. And when I went away and thought about it afterwards, I thought, that was such, I so enjoyed that. And it was so easy. But I believe now that those kind of little opportunities, those kind of little words said, or a hug, or a, they are mighty, mighty weapons that the Lord give us. And we should not despise them.
Okay, this is the point where we say, well, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do now? What do you want to do? Turn to somebody close to you and say, he's bringing it back. The Lord is restoring. The Lord is restoring. The Lord is restoring. If you need a hug, Irma's a great hugger as well. Irma's got powerful hugs. Need a hug? Need the hug of encouragement?
Someone might have words of encouragement.
That you want to just share quietly with one another, then do that. Ministry is in the body, you know. It's in the body. It's the anointing is here. It's not just in one special person, and I'm not a special person anyway. So, but it's here.